Penny Hinn. That is our MP for Tamaki Makaurau. He's also the Minister of Defence. And, you know, both are tied up into the potential reopening of our borders and how that might be achieved. And also, I'm mindful too about the lack of vaccination that's been exposed through the week by our port workers in Tauranga and the standoff, literally, of the ship with COVID positive merchant seamen on it off the Napier port as well. So, you know, these areas are vulnerable, our ports, our airports, and Penny's here to talk about these sorts of matters. First up, thanks for your time, Penny. Tēnā koe.
Yeah, kia ora, Dale. Kia ora, tātou. And you're on the money, my friend, you know. And if we think back to the lockdown, which seems like so long ago, but really not that long ago, you know, we know that Tamaki Makaurau's, you know, the front line, if you like, the border to the rest of the world, and which is why it's really important we have a discussion. And the Prime Minister yesterday detailed what does reopening the borders look like and what we need to do to make sure that when we do reopen, we continue to have an elimination strategy for COVID-19 that keeps us all safe.
It seems a long way off, though. You know, just judging by what's going on around the world, even close to us in Australia, I guess a lot of people have just come to accept that it's never going to be the same as it was pre-COVID.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And I think it was David Skegg, Sir David Skegg, yesterday in the Hui, who said, you know, just as the world changed after 9/11, it's going to be the same after COVID. And so the world is going to change. And you pointed out that does seem some time off, especially with the emergence of the Delta variant. And, you know, they're predicting that even more variants will arise over the next, you know, months, years, who knows, really. But we've still got to, you know, we've still got to have a plan to reopen our borders and, you know, but while doing that, trying to keep us all safe. So the Prime Minister gave us a bit of a roadmap yesterday. And, you know, to your kōrero about what do the frontline and the border workers, you know, what's required there. We're looking towards, you know, having a trial and a test some of our settings in the MIQ. So as we know, we're having to have 14 days quarantine in a facility. You know, we can do some things we know, like, for example, we're looking towards testing whether or not people can isolate at home with some pretty strict conditions around it, or whether or not they can do a short stay in the MIQ facility and then go and finish the rest of the isolation at home. All of these things are really important. We test and we get it right because we don't want to simply open up and then find ourselves, you know, in another lockdown.
We talk about some with your Defence Force hat and, of course, concern that the Defence Force's ability to respond to a major disaster. This from Jane Patterson from RNZ. Has been significantly compromised, mainly due to its security role at managed isolation hotels. We know that a lot of our Defence Force staff are tangata whenua, Penny. What can we do to mitigate this? And do you think that it is useful deployment of our Defence Force personnel to be standing at the doorways of MIQ facilities?
Yeah, look, that's a really good question, and I know it's been a challenge for the Defence Force, so I want to acknowledge them. We made it clear that our number one priority was keeping us safe from COVID-19, and so they've been involved in what we call Op Protect or Operation Protect, which is seeing our people, our Defence Force personnel, you know, managing and supporting our MIQ efforts. And you know, we've met recently with the Chief of Defence Force and others who have, you know, raised with me the challenge that, you know, that they face when they have to send their people into the MIQ. And what they're saying to me is, you know, take Wātea, for example, Dale. If you're looking to hire someone into management or middle management, you can literally go out and hire somebody. But in the Defence Force, you've got to grow them from the bottom up. They've got to come through the ranks to be able to get there. And so now with the attrition rate and the challenge of MIQ, we know that it's compromising the ability for the Defence Force to be able to respond to other matters that might come to hand. And, you know, recently we saw them helping down in Buller and West Coast, and Te Taipotini because of the flooding, again in South Canterbury because of the flooding. And, you know, we're coming into hurricane season in the Pacific. So, you know, we have a discussion about what does our ability to respond look like. And it was made clear to me that, you know, it's a diminished ability because of the challenge we have in manning and supporting the MIQ. So we're working with the Defence Force. But I want to point out, though, Dale, having been a former Civil Defence Minister, you know, the first and foremost, the response is led by NEMA, our National Emergency Management Agency. But, of course, the Defence Force, we're looking to make sure they're there and able to support.
Ka pai, mate. And just finally, what's on your cards for the weekend? I see you're often opening things. You've got a lot of portfolios, so you know, keeping you busy. Any interesting mahi ahead over the next couple of days, bro?
Yeah, so we're coming into a recess week. This weekend, one of the main focus kaupapa for this weekend, Dale, is up in Tāmaki Makaurau in the Manukau Memorial Gardens, is the commemoration for the Vietnam War. And you and I know, and I'm sure you've spoken to some of our kaumātua and our pakeke who served in the Vietnam War, and we'll all know the politics around the Vietnam War. But, you know, these men, they served their country and came back to a political storm, if you like. And, you know, sadly, I don't think they've had the recognition they deserve. And there's been a number of steps to remedy that in the past. But this Sunday, we're coming together to commemorate the Vietnam War and to, you know, honour our team that served over there in Vietnam. So that's a big focus on Sunday. And then the week ahead, my friend, yeah, there's a couple of house openings around the country. You know, as a housing minister, I'm proud of the work iwi and Māori are doing to continue to support us with solving this housing crisis. And, yeah, what's going on, my friend?
Kia ora, Penny. Thanks very much. Just finally, oh, I've probably already said that, today's the anniversary of the passing of David Longhi. And as a Labour Party MP, I know you would have been significantly younger because that was in 05, but I just wonder what you made of him and whether there was some political influence in the way he put issues together and challenges together. Renowned for sharp wit and oratory, he led the fourth Labour government from 84 to 89. The passing of David Longhi and his influence, perhaps, on your thinking.
Well, you know, David Longhi was a tōtara and certainly in Labour and in New Zealand politics. And, you know, Dale, I was a child living in America at the time. My father was in foreign affairs, and David Longhi became the Prime Minister. And I recall as a child David Longhi visiting America and coming through LA and, you know, meeting him. And I remember at the time, you know, thinking, one, he looked like my dad, which was interesting, but two, this man was able to command a room like I've never seen before. And I remember as I was growing up and reading about David Longhi and discovering that he was in Rāwene. You know, he grew up in the north and of course had a successful practice in South Auckland. It just speaks to the kind of man that he was. He was about the people, and his ability to be able to decipher what, you know, what the issues are and be able to communicate it in a way that, you know, fits the audience was something I've never seen before. So, you know, we honour him. I honour him, and I'm sure the people of South Auckland will be proud of their man.